I'll continue with the message titled A Premium Life. Let me very briefly review the last session. I talked about the Go Game board. You cut the wood and put it in the salt water, seawater, and dry it. And when you put it in the salt water, the one that doesn't crack, that is a good quality wood, that will be the first grade board. And for some reason, there is a kind of wood that cracks in the salt water and then sticks back up when it is being dried. So that becomes the premium level board. And the wood that is cracked, that is a cheap, they will be made into cheap boards. I was trying to say, depending on how we spend these hard times, we might become like a premium level Go board or the cheap boards. Nobody would want to be the cheap ones. So what do we have to do to become the premium level Go boards? How can we live a premium life? So when we face hardships, we shouldn't put the blame on others or the situations, but we have to try to find the reason, the cause within ourselves. And we have to believe that there is a reason that God is allowing such situations. Secondly, so why does God allow this trial on us? Because God is good and He wants to give us good things. We can believe in God and we can. So it is a way to let us trust Him more. And thirdly, as in Psalm 119 verse 67, sufferings are beneficial. Firstly, God subtracts. Without sufferings, without hardships, there are things that we can't realize, the sins, the evil natures that we can't realize without hardships. Some people are not interested in realizing their own sinful natures. Then sufferings will be just sufferings. But through sufferings, if we realize our sinful natures and struggle against them to the point of death, then that is a way to live a premium life. And God also adds and multiplies through the hardships. While we try to overcome those hardships, we might get wisdom. And we might realize our potentials and capabilities that we didn't know. And we will be able to improve ourselves through the hardships. So I said hardships are beneficial. So what can we learn through hardships? There are some people or countries that others might envy. Maybe an example is Israel. Any organization, any community, prominent CEOs, business people, they don't say they were fortunate that they could avoid all the troubles. They never say that. So let me give you an example of such a person. He is Wang Yongqing, a very famous Taiwanese businessman. He wasn't educated at all. He already passed away. Like in South Korea, in my parents' generation, they were having a hard time economically. At that time, they didn't have any family plan, contraception, so they just gave birth to many children. So this Wang Yongqing, he was born as the first son of a very poor family. Their parents were not rich at all. And he had to endure many things. So he began to make his bed since he was five, six. Not just to be commanded by their parents, but that it was their survival. Nowadays we have tap water, or before that we had some pumps or well. But at that time, in his village, he had to go to the lake. Hundreds of meters away. He had to go to the lake and bring water for the whole family. So he had to travel many times to supply the water just for one day. So later he said, this kind of difficulty, this kind of hardship was very good training for him. He finished his elementary school, but he couldn't advance to middle school. He couldn't afford the tuition. So he got a job instead in a rice shop. Right after the elementary school. And his father noticed that he was good at merchandise. He was a good merchant. So his father was also poor. But he borrowed some money from his relatives and he opened a small rice shop for him. So when he was in middle school, he became an owner of a rice shop. We might wonder what such a little boy could do, but he already knew the life. Learned a life. He had a lot of sufferings. So he was thinking for each customer household. So for each family, he counted how much rice they would consume every month. So by the time he thought their rice was going to run out, he delivered the rice for them, for each household. In the past, they had this rice jar. And if you put the new rice into the jar, the old rice will just remain old rice all the time. So he will remove the old rice and put the new rice into the jar. So it was an extra service. So the customers, they thought it was good, especially when they had some senior people or sick people. They were especially more thankful. And also, they didn't even order it, but he just made deliveries, so he couldn't be paid right away. But how did he get his money back then? He knew when their salary, when they were paid, their payday. So on that day itself, they visited each household and asked for money. Then he would get 9 out of 10 times, he would get the money. And he later thought it would be more effective if he could polish the rice himself. So he bought the machine and he did the polishing. At that time, there was a lot of stones in the rice. So in each housewife, they had to do this. They had to get this stone taken out. Nowadays, we don't have any stones in the rice, but at that time, it was such a good idea. So anyway, later, he became like a king of the plastics. So I can't talk about all his life stories, but what I'm trying to say is, if you overcome hardships, you can learn a lot of things from those hardships. You can get wisdom and knowledge. It's the same with Juyong Jung, the founder of Hyundai Business Group. He was so poor that he ran away from home to work many jobs. And he went through a lot of things. He wasn't educated at all. We can't really give excuses considering these people. He only went to elementary school, but he had so many PhDs and so many educated people under him. So depending on how we go through the hardships, we might be able to improve ourselves so much. I just mentioned Wang Yongqing and Juyong Jung. And the hardships might be the instrument through which we can improve ourselves. We hear a lot about the pearl, how they are made. So endurance, is crucial. In Chinese character, the word patience is the sword on the heart. Suppose there is this sword on your heart. It means it's really painstaking. Yes, you could be so nervous. So let me tell you a story. I'm sorry to talk about alcohol in the worship service, but it's just a story. There were two young men who wanted to brew good quality alcohol, good quality drink. So he went to a master brewer and asked how the secrets. So the master said, select well-ripened grain on May 5th and mix it well in the clean and cold water that you get when winter ice melts down. And seal the jar with threads well-dried by sunshine of early summer and leave it for 81 days. It's not something easy. You have to select a particular day, May 5th, and when the winter ice melts down first. And so, because they had the zeal, they did whatever the master brewer told them. And finally, he said, after 81 days, you can open it after the morning chicken rooster cries three times. So after 80 days, tomorrow, the next day, is the 81st day. So on the 81st day, there was this first sound of the rooster, and there was the second cry. And they were waiting for the third, but it didn't come. They waited for a long time, but the rooster didn't make any sound. So one of them became impatient, and he just opened his jar. And he was surprised because he didn't see any. He saw this black liquid floating around in the jar and not the good drink, good rice wine. And so there was this, the other young man. Although the rooster, he didn't hear the third sound of the rooster, he was still patient and he waited. So he waited and waited. And finally, there was this third sound of the rooster, and he went outside and opened this jar. And he could see this fragrant and very good rice wine. One of them was impatient, and he thought he was cheated by the master brewer. But the other one, he was patient. We can also think about Naaman and Elisha. Elisha told him to go wash himself in the Jordan River 7 times. So, even up to the 6th time, nothing happened. And if he just stopped there, he couldn't have been healed. But because he did 7 times, he washed himself 7 times anyway. So after 7 times, he washed 7 times, he was healed. His flesh was like that of a child. So patience is what we need. There are many things we can't be patient about in everyday lives. You know, maybe your boss is getting angry at you or nagging all the time while she doesn't say anything to other people. And every time they might have, that particular person might have a misunderstanding toward you all the time. Maybe you dated somebody for more than like 10 years and suddenly he or she says goodbye. How can we be patient? So we have to think about it. If we get angry, what will it benefit me? Probably nothing. So we have to think about it and patiently think about it and control ourselves. But sometimes we become emotional. The emotion controls the reason. So when it is also put into action, our lives are likely to be ruined. Let me tell you a story. There was a young man who graduated from college and he became an intern in a certain company for 3 months. So after 3 months, he could get the job there. So he worked hard. He did all his best for 3 months. And even after 3 months, he didn't hear any news that he was going to be hired. So he was so angry and he went to the vice president's office and he talked about how much he worked for the company and he criticized the management and the company that they didn't know, they didn't realize, they didn't see through a good worker like him, like himself. And he just said, "I quit." So the vice president called him into the office again. So why don't you reconsider it? The more, the angrier you get, the others will also be angry. And this young man, he was already so angry, he was impatient, and he just quit. The company management, they knew it was a capable, good worker. And it's just that They didn't inform him. Yet, and he couldn't be, the young man, he couldn't be patient for just one more moment. So, after getting angry at the management that way, the company couldn't hire him any longer. So it's the young man, he kicked his own blessing. He kicked his own employment. Maybe he could have consulted. Maybe he could have asked what was going on without getting angry. So as we go through this, these hard times, what are we supposed to do? The more patient you are, the more you desire to get good results. You don't complain, but you train yourself. You raise your, re-increase your strength. And if you are not ready in this way, like this young man, college graduate, you will just ruin your own fortune. As our church is going through this trial of blessing, it doesn't mean it'll be trial of blessing for everybody, depending on what kind of attitude we have. Some might come out to be living a premium life, or others, while others could be, become like cranked go-boards. We have, let me tell you the story of a Professor Dong-gil Kim. He's still writing in a prominent daily newspaper every day. He taught in Yonsei University. And when he was lecturing in Yonsei University in Western cultural history, there were crowds of students. And at that time he said, "The one who made me this, who made me today is President Park Chung-hee." But actually, during the time of President Park Chung-hee, he was put in jail. He was a political, due to political reasons. But he was saying that President Park Chung-hee made him what he is. Before he went to the jail, he didn't read so much. But in the jail, he had nothing to do. So he began to read. So he, while he was in the jail, he read hundreds of books. And when he was released, he knew he was never the same. He was a much better person. And so he was. He said to his students, "If you read more than 200 books before you graduate, your lives will be changed." Being in jail, if you complain and if you get angry every day, and even if you hit the wall, it'll only harm your fist. That is not the wise way. To some people, they might be in sickbed for many years. Like in the case of Masayoshi Son of SoftBank in Japan, who is called Bill Gates of Japan, or Korean, his, or otherwise called Son Jung-hee in Korean name. Anyway, he had hepatitis, and he had to be in hospital for 3 years when he was very young. And while he was hospitalized, he began to read, and he read more than 1,000 books. And it's not easy when you're busy doing everyday work. So while he was in the hospital for 3 years, it was time to get the knowledge that he could use for the rest of his life. So this is what we are supposed to do now. Maybe you, when I tell you the stories of these famous people, you might think, "I'm just nobody, and what should I do?" So let me tell you just one more story. Last summer, I gave a lecture for the Sunday school teachers. And toward the end, I talked about challenges. In Japan, there were some people who were around 100 years old, and they wrote poems, and they published a book, and it became the bestseller, one of the bestsellers. And I did some research, and there was this poem, The Flower Seed of the Mother. And I wanted to buy it, but I spent so much money on buying books, and I have so many books. So sometimes I think to myself, do I really have to buy this? So I have this habit. I write down the list of the books I want to buy, and I think about them for one whole week. Do I really need? I don't have the space, and it costs a lot. So I wanted to read this poem. The Flower Seed of the Mother. And I talked about this book, and one of the people who heard my lecture, she bought two books, and she gave one to her mother, and she brought the other to me. So I was reminded of this book suddenly, and I read these poems. So these are the mothers of my mother's generation, the senior women who were illiterate and who learned Korean alphabet Hangul only at a later stage. Nowadays, you probably don't understand how one can be illiterate, but they're in their 80s and 90s. When they were young, the situation was totally different. Some of them were so poor, they couldn't afford the school tuition fee. And also some people, at that time, women were not supposed to learn. So in my case, my mother, who passed away, she passed the middle school exam. But her father said, you're a woman and you can read, you can count, so that's enough. You don't have to learn any more. She didn't eat for 3 days, and yet her father didn't send her. She said, one time she told me, there was one of my friends who passed the exam with me, and she became a principal. And I said, you should be proud. You didn't become a principal, but your daughter is a president of a university. My grandfather, he was rich, but because of his fixed mentality, he didn't send her to school. Especially at that time, it was during the Japanese reign, and single women, they could be taken as sex slaves. So they married their little girls very early. Anyway, so she married early. She didn't learn. Anyway, there are these senior women who were illiterate. But now they learned Hangul now. And they wrote these poems. Even though they learned how to read and write only now, their poems are funny, emotional, moving, and lively. And no poem can imitate these poems. So I read these poems once again, and I was touched. I burst into tears. So I comforted myself. Even after 70, I can be touched by poems. And it's because the poems are so genuine. So let me introduce some of the poems to you. Written by Namsun Jo, letter 40 years before. My son wrote to me a letter 40 years ago. I wanted to read it, and I struggled to learn how to read. So many days and years left, and finally I learned Hangul, and I opened the draw door. And now I open this letter with a shaking heart, with tears on my hands after 40 years. And I go back to 40 years ago. With tears and nose running on my face. Also, Gyeongye Lee, the letter I want to send to my husband. When we were newlyweds, I was too shy to call you my husband. But you left this world and I wanted to write a letter to you. I don't know how I lived the rest of my life all these years, and I wanted to send a letter to you. And I'm already 85. You in the photo are still a young man. I'm calling you an old man. And as I learned, now my writing is not good, but I would like to send a good, pure letter to you. My dream, Bunyeol Lee, the dream in my childhood is to be fed without having to work for somebody in somebody else's house. My dream in my youth was to wake up in the early morning, work hard, and feed my children and send them to school. But now, my dream is to say thank you on the tombstone of my husband. Life upgrade by Cho Kang Go. I can just barely write my name. I can barely read my children's names. When I receive letters from their school, my face turns red because I can't read. But now, Mom, what are you doing? I am making kimchi. Sister, what is the homework today? We have a test, and we have to study for it. All these things in short messages, text messages. So, what do we have to do for our church? What can we do to improve ourselves? This is a time, I hope, this is a time to take this opportunity to improve yourself. I'm sorry, I'm talking about the newspaper I read a lot, but I get so much information from the newspaper. Nowadays, there is a lot of so many pages, and it's quite different from reading off on the internet. So I just keep on reading the newspaper. My father has been reading. Nowadays, there is a diary of a 100-year-old. So there is this honorary professor who is 100 years old and who is still healthy, who is still lecturing here and there. And let me introduce to you one of his writings as to think about what we are supposed to do now. One of the countries that has the best social welfare system is Canada. And I remember one of the stories of my acquaintances. Jimmy was a young man from Korea. His older brother was a Canadian citizen, so he finally moved to Canada. And his brother asked one of his friends, a company owner, to hire him and take care of him. And this Jimmy got a job, but he didn't have any skills. He didn't know how to speak English. He was just a high school graduate. So right after high school graduation, he went to Canada. He didn't know how to speak English. He didn't have any skills. So he was kind of sorry that he wasn't really doing anything for the company. So he went to work half an hour earlier than others. And so he prepared everything so that his colleagues could start off right away. After he got off, he worked two more hours. He did it for 2 years. And the owner he said to Jimmy, "You don't have to do this any longer." And Jimmy said, "I'm doing this for myself, so I would like to just keep on doing it." So that's how he just continued to live. The next Christmas, owner, of course, obviously he loved this company employee so much, so he gave his car as a gift, Christmas present. His older brother said it's not polite to refuse, so he accepted it. So he gave this good car to the pastor of his Korean church, and he exchanged it with the old car of the pastor. Anyway, 4 or 5 years passed. And then the owner asked Jimmy's brother, "I'd like to open a small factory, and I'd like your brother to take care of it. And I want you to invest half the money." So this young man, high school graduate, he didn't know English. He didn't have any skills, but he didn't complain at all. He just exerted himself to be faithful, to be hardworking, and to contribute to the company he was working. It was not just to save his face to the owner, but he really worked hard, and finally he became the manager of a small factory. Of course, nowadays, it's difficult. Many people say it's difficult. And Korea now, they are implementing 52-hour work week. But think about it. Whether you're pastors or Levites or company employees or your housewives, if you think it is a labor, if you're looking at the watch and, 10 minutes more, then if you're working in this way, how meaningless, how hard is this? But if you find it fun, when you think about the work, you're happy, if you are happy. And if you do your work being happy, if you enjoy it, no matter what your position is, you'll be happy working. There are many famous anecdotes about Jung Joo-young, the founder of Hyundai Business Group. He wakes up early in the morning, especially Monday morning, to go to work. You don't want to go, usually. But for him, he was excited every morning, thinking about what kind of exciting things will happen in the workplace. You remember going on a picnic when you're in elementary school. Your mother would pack your lunch, kimbap or something else. And you wait for it so much, wait for the day so much. But President Jung said he was waiting for the morning to come every day, like he was waiting for the picnic. I don't know, I can't be compared to him, but I enjoy my work too. I wanted to become like a Madame Curie, a scientist. But somehow I became a preacher, a pastor. And I don't teach food engineering, but I teach Old Testament, the church history. But I'm so happy. When I was doing the food engineering, we had to have the labs, and we had to stay all night. But now I can just read books, and I'm so happy about it. And preparing for these messages, I read these books that I like these poems. And I'm so happy that I can be moved and touched by these poems, even at this age. So I'm just so thankful and happy that I can be used by God. And I read all the time, except when I sleep, except when I eat. So without books, I can't live. So anyway, so when we are going through this kind of dark passage, we have to gather our strength together and we have to try to improve ourselves. So they asked me to make an announcement. When we are going through these hardships, some people, they think they are working hard. They're doing their best. Some people, they are diligent and enthusiastic about something worthless. So let me give you this announcement. Dear brothers and sisters, we'd like to convey the message of the senior pastor that he wrote in his own handwriting. Recently, he has seen the photo of a demonstration regarding his court trials. One of the church members sent it to him with a good intention of sending him good news. However, senior pastor mentioned to his lawyer that such a demonstration is not in accordance with his will, but rather he is suffering greatly because of those things. And he wrote on the paper on which the photo is in his own handwriting as follows. You know his unique handwriting. Brothers and sisters, it is not my will that you take to the streets. Please do not do so, but focus on prayer and spreading of the gospel. What do we have to do? We have to eat, we have to drink to survive. And prayer and the word and spreading of the gospel, that's what we do every day. I hope you will not think you have to do something very special in these times, but just do what you've been doing. Such demonstrations do not help me at all in this situation. I'd like Pastors Heejin and Heesun Lee to refrain themselves. I have great pain due to such things. If they think they love the senior pastor and they do it for the senior pastor, but actually the senior pastor is suffering. So if you really love him, you should stop. All my lawyers are worried in the same way. We'd like all the brothers and sisters of Manmin to follow the urging of the senior pastor and not participate in such a demonstration, but rather focus on prayers, preaching, and taking care of the members until we see him again. From Secretarial Bureau. So we have to improve ourselves, we have to increase our power and strength, and we have to use this energy. But where? We have to be able to discern. And that, the standard to discern, has to be the heart of God. Even if you think you are right, if you hear that it is not the will of God, then you should be able to stop. So if we pass the hardships and become a premium level person, then what will happen? You know, there are many excellent people in the world, but they can't compete with those who have faith. In a very decisive moment, God will stand on our side, those who have faith. For example, let us think about Joseph. He was sold into Egypt as a slave by the hands of his own half-brothers. And his own brothers sold him as a slave. And he was in jail. We know that he was living that kind of life for 13 years, but for him, he didn't know when it was going to end. So when the time came, when the time was ripe, God gave a dream to Pharaoh. There were so many magi and wise men, sorcerers, but they didn't know what the dream meant. So finally, the chief cupbearer, he forgot about Joseph, but in this occasion, he remembered Joseph and recommended him before Pharaoh, and Joseph interpreted the dream, which was that there was going to be 7 years good harvest and then 7 years famine. You had it two times. It means God decided to do it, certainly. And during the 7 years of famine, they will forget that they had 7 years of good harvest. But there is a way to solve this problem. So he suggested all the good methods, ways to solve the problem. So everybody said, there's nobody else who is inspired by the Spirit of God like you, and you are the one. You take care of everything. So right at that moment, right at that spot, the Pharaoh appointed him as the prime minister. Nobody will move even a finger without your command. So he was a slave, but he became the prime minister of Egypt, the whole land of Egypt. So he overcame the 7 years of famine, and when his brothers came, he didn't take revenge, but he treated them with goodness. He guided them to repent by themselves. He didn't unconditionally forgive. He guided them so that they could repent on their own. So when they repented, he moved all his family to the land of Goshen in Egypt. So they multiplied, the sons of Israel multiplied, and they became 2 million people when they went out of Egypt. So Joseph played a role of saving the sons of Israel. What about David? He was just a herdsman. He was tending the flock. And that was his duty. So to do his duty when lions or bears came, he learned how to throw this slingshot. He didn't train himself to fight against Goliath right from the beginning, but he just did his duty. Sometimes, when he had the time, he played a harp. And because of that, he was helping King Saul, who was being disturbed by evil spirits. And he was too young to fight in the battle. When Israel was having a war against the Philistines. So Goliath came forth and said, we'll have this one-on-one fight, and then whoever wins, their side will win. And he was mocking the Lord God of Israel, but nobody could stop him, even King Saul, nobody. Because Goliath, as you know, is a giant. And this young David saw it, and he volunteered. And King Saul, how can such a young boy like you fight such a Goliath, fight against a Goliath? And he said, if there was any lion or bear taking one of my flock, I went after them and took these sheep back. And who is this Gentile that he's able to mock God? I will kill him. I will do the same. So King Saul, he gave him his armor. Saul was tall, so he didn't fit. So David just took them all off, and he just went with a stick and a slingshot, stones. And the Goliath said, you think I'm a dog? Of course, David considered him worse than a dog. But anyway, David, and Goliath was guided by a shield, a boy who was carrying a shield. So David knew Goliath had some kind of weak point. And he was wearing the armor, but there was one point where there was no armor. And David knew he could hit these fast lions and bears. But giant Goliath, he wasn't moving. So it was easy for him. So he took the slingshot, the stone, and hit him right in the forehead. And Goliath fell, and he didn't even have the sword. So he took the sword of the Goliath and cut his head. And an ordinary person couldn't even think about it, but he trained himself. When he was having a hard time, there are so many other anecdotes, but I will stop here because of time. So conclusively, as a conclusion, what should we do? On a golf ball, you have these dimples. At first, the golf balls, they didn't have these dimples, but somehow a certain person invented them, and it flew much longer distance. So scientifically speaking, these dimples will reduce the air resistance, so they can travel much farther away. So nowadays they have 400 to 500 dimples on a golf ball. We can say these dimples are the hardships in our lives. But through these hardships, we can resist, we can reduce the air resistance. So I gave you this allegory of a go board and golf balls. We would like to live a premium life, premium level life. So, but we can't just do that. We have to follow the spiritual principles. And I talked about Goliath. For the Israel, King Saul, it was an obstacle that they couldn't hurdle. They couldn't go up. And how was this David, a young man who was nobody, how did he become so famous? How did he do such a thing? So the hardships, the difficulties that we go through will become the stepping stone to raise us up, to increase our capabilities. And whatever hurdles, whatever obstacles we may face, we may have, we may see, the obstacles that we are facing, it's not something easy, it's not something small. But as we overcome, it'll only become our blessing. Accomplishing the world evangelism is not something easy to be done. It's not something easy to accomplish the perfection, completion of the power of recreation. And we lack so many things. We lack so much, yet still. So God is encouraging us. He is allowing in it, when allowing this trial of blessing to us.
Hallelujah, Almighty Father God of love. Please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers: stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.